Thank you, Nancy, for reading the gospel of Jesus Christ so well for us. I'll be reading from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. If you want to follow along, you may find it in Isaiah chapter 58. To give you a little bit of background on this particular passage from Isaiah chapter 58, this portion of Isaiah seems to be written to be read by and heard by an audience, which is the exiles, the Jewish exiles who have been taken away into exile in Babylon and have now returned home again into the land of Israel. Now, it's not, you know, peachy and everything's not well at home. The land has been destroyed by the Babylonians. They leveled the city of Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and so now the people have come back home to ruins. That's the setting for this passage from Isaiah chapter 58. And it has a lot to do with the gospel reading from Luke 13, which Jesus uses to tell us something about how the kingdom of God should work. So listen as I read from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58, starting at verse 9b, the second half of verse 9. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? O Lord, open our eyes to see you at work in our world around us. Open our hearts that we might learn from your word and hear your message that you would give to this church this day. Bless this time in your name. Amen. It was a challenging time in the land of Israel. It was a difficult time, not just because the people had come home to ruins. There were no buildings. There were no homes. And that was challenging enough, but it wasn't the only reason that it was a challenging time. They came home to freedom. They were enslaved. The people of Israel were enslaved, conquered by the Babylonians, and were doing their work there. And you might imagine that if you were living in that particular environment where you were owned by the Babylonian Empire, if you were to hold on to your ancient traditional faith, you would have a lot of energy to do that. It would be difficult to follow the Lord in a land where you were enslaved. And so in a sense, it was a little bit easier than when the people came home. when they came home to the land that was destroyed, but it was their own land. When they came home to their own land, there was no longer Babylon telling them what to do, and they had to kind of secretly worship the Lord, play their psalms along the rivers for the amusement of the Babylonians. We read that in the book of Psalms. That's what the Babylonians had them do. Sing your songs for us so we can laugh at you, your God who saved you. Ha! Well, here they are home again. No one to laugh at them. No one to keep them down and keep the message vital and vibrant. In our world today, do you know where the gospel of Jesus Christ is growing the fastest? It's not here. The message is very hard here because we are at home. The message of Jesus Christ is growing the fastest in those places in the world today where the message is being pushed down. In many parts of Africa, that enormous continent where African traditional religions are very deeply held to by many different tribes, and where Islam is pushing in from the Middle East. In Asia, especially Southeast Asia, where you have Buddhism and Hinduism, very strong religions and a very large presence of Islam as well. That is where the gospel of Jesus Christ is growing the fastest, because it's hard. In this country, Christianity is sort of natural. It's accepted anyway, and if you ask anybody on the street, they'll probably say something like, yeah, I believe in God, or yeah, I've heard of Jesus, but what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, I imagine it looks like what worship looked like in Israel when the people came back home after their exile. It was just natural. This is who we worship here. This is our land. This is our territory. We're going to worship God the way we do it, which is to say, not very much at all. We'll go through the motions of going to synagogue, going to church. We'll worship the Lord as much as we can. But, you know, after that's done, then we can go back home and use the remote control and not worry about the people forcing us to make bricks or to build buildings or things that we don't want to do. It's comfortable. So that puts us in a similar situation as to where the audience of this reading from Isaiah was at first. It's kind of a comfortable place for them to be. It got so comfortable for them that they began neglecting the needs of the communities around them. In Isaiah 58, before this passage that we just read together, Isaiah is calling the people to not neglect the hungry, the thirsty, the homeless, the oppressed of the communities in which they live. You've been going to worship the Lord, but you've been forgetting to do this other business, which is really very important. And that's what this passage from Isaiah 58 is all about. Connecting the two, where you worship the Lord on the one hand, but you care for those who are in distress on the other. We have a tendency to become comfortable with where we are, to do our worship thing in this space. But do we remember to do the other part of it when we leave? That's the challenge. When I was a college student, that's where Tara and I met ages ago. Okay, maybe about 10, 12 years ago. Taylor University, which is our alma mater, a Christian school on the way down to Indianapolis, between Indianapolis and Fort Wayne, if you know the area, out in the middle of nowhere. When we were students there, there was this interesting culture that I observed in the student body around me. I being, you know, high and aloof and a student and everything, I noticed this. Well, I saw many of my friends, many of my classmates, receiving this very powerful call from God while they were students at Taylor, a call to go to overseas missions, to go to another land, to go to Africa, to go to China, to go to Japan, to go to places where normal people don't go, I guess, and to spread the message of Jesus Christ there. That's wonderful stuff, and I've thanked the Lord, and I still do, that some of my close friends went to other places of the world. For me, I never got that. And I kind of wondered if I was missing the boat from time to time. If I was just not plugged in somehow and not getting this call. But eventually I realized what was going on. My call from the Lord for my life was not to somewhere over there, but to right here. Because I looked at the daily news. I watched the news channel on TV. I saw what was happening in this land where I'm from, and I realized there's a lot to do here. There are people who are in need here, just like there are people who are in need everywhere. And while it's good for missionaries to be called overseas, it's good for missionaries to be called here. And that's what we are, those of us who live here. We are missionaries, because our home is not here, remember. Our home is somewhere else. We are missionaries to this world where we find ourselves. So was Isaiah. He was a missionary to his people, his land. And he said to the people, you can't separate your worship life from your social life. You can't separate how you treat God from how you treat other people. They go together. On the one hand, Isaiah says, you need to work toward the freedom of the oppressed. Meet the needs of the hungry. Meet the needs of those who are in distress. Because the Lord will meet your needs when you do this. Did you catch that? When you do this, when you meet the needs of the people who are oppressed, He will meet yours when you are living in a sun-scorched land. What is there to grow in a sun-scorched land? Well, nothing. That's why we need the Lord. So we give to those who are in need, trusting that the Lord will provide for us. That's pretty powerful stuff. And it's easy to forget. And there's a detail here in Isaiah's message to the people of Israel and to us that is easy for us to overlook, but it's very crucial to what we're doing here, especially to this area as I've begun to observe what happens here. What happens here, I see, this is all good stuff. There are churches, lots, oodles of churches, and we collectively love to hold support dinners or fundraisers, rummage sales, these kinds of things, right? I mean, we love to do this stuff. Everyone, and this is good stuff because, number one, we can, you know, eat good food. Number two, we can get rid of all that clutter that we don't need anymore. And bonus, we get to raise money for the work of the kingdom of God. This is good stuff. It's great to be able to do this. What Isaiah says to the people of Israel is something very different. He says, spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry. Spend yourselves for the oppressed. We can raise all the money we want and then write a check. Maggie's good at this. She can write checks. Send them somewhere. And then we're here doing our thing and walking out the door and not spending ourselves. Spending ourselves on behalf of the hungry, the oppressed. That involves us and not just our stuff. And that's difficult. This whole following Christ thing is not supposed to be very easy. It's supposed to be kind of challenging. Otherwise, it becomes what it was for the people of Israel when they came home, comfortable. What Isaiah is calling us to do is something very difficult. It's precisely in being uncomfortable that we will have our needs met and we'll find our joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. We sang that this morning. It's one of the old Reformation hymns that come out of our heritage as a Church of God community. The people who wrote that song, specifically Barney Warren and the folks around him, they didn't have a whole lot, and they traveled a bunch from here to there, spreading the message that the Lord had given them. It wasn't very comfortable for them all the time. They relied on the Lord very much for their needs. When they set up their community around the printing presses that finally landed in Anderson, Indiana, but first in Grand Junction, Michigan for a long time, the Gospel Trumpet family home, they relied on the Lord's provision for their needs. It was a very intense period of time for them. It eventually grew into a great mechanism and structure that's now centered in Anderson, lots of buildings and things. It got comfortable. It did. I'll be the first one to say that. It became a denomination when it was a movement. It's that easy to let the message of Jesus become smooth instead of challenging, involving us at every turn. That's the one side. this social justice side of things. But then Isaiah says, you know, there's another part of it that we can't ignore. It's the Sabbath day part. If you keep the Sabbath, then you will find your joy in the Lord. If you don't go your own way on the day of the Lord, if you don't have idle talk, then the Lord will continue to bless you in the land where you are. Okay, Sabbath day. We are not Sabbath day people anymore. Well, we have a new Sabbath. In the old Jewish system, Sabbath day was the seventh day of the week, what we call Saturday today. And there are still people who worship on Saturdays because that's what the Old Testament prescribes, that you set the Sabbath day aside because that's the day that the Lord rested from his act of creation. All well and good. We as Christians have a new Sabbath, which is today, Sunday, the day of the Lord's resurrection. We meet on Sundays for a very specific reason. First, two reasons. First, to honor what the Lord commanded us to do, to rest ourselves. That is crucial. We must rest, or else we'll work ourselves to death. But number two, we meet Sundays as a political statement to the world that says this day is a commemoration of that greatest of days when Jesus rose from the dead. Everything else is meaningless without that. We meet on Sundays as our Sabbath. So Isaiah says, meet on the Sabbath day. Don't go your own way on the day of the Lord. Be in the Lord's house. Worship the Lord. Honor the Lord with your time. And see if he doesn't give you rest. See if he doesn't give you joy as you go along the journey. See, there are two sides. We have to be involved in the world, and we have to be involved here. And Isaiah says you can't separate them. Jesus said the same thing. On that, I love Jesus. He had to go into the synagogue, into church, on a Sabbath day, and he must have known this was going to happen. Here's this crippled lady who's bent over, can't straighten herself up, for whatever reason. Our science today might be able to tell us what the disease was, but she was bound by the devil for 18 years, and here she finds herself in church on a Sabbath day. And Jesus has the audacity to heal her. It's work, you know. I mean, it must be, to remove an evil spirit or a disease or whatever it was from this lady. And she straightened up. Did you catch it? She straightened up and did what? Praised God. That's what you're supposed to do in church on a Sabbath day. You straighten up and you praise God for what he's done for you, just like Rosemary did a few minutes ago. And the leader of the synagogue said, now, wait a minute, folks. We've got 6 days to do our work. Come to Sabbath and just relax. No work to be done here. Thank you very much. And Jesus said, no, no, no. You're missing the point. You're missing the point. He calls the people hypocrites, two-faced, doing two different things, saying one thing but meaning to do another. And he says, doesn't each one of you untie your ox or donkey and lead it to the water on the Sabbath day? Now, sometimes you might think, that's an act of work, and ha-ha, they're working on the Sabbath, gotcha. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's doing a play on words here. Nancy, you'll love this. It's Greek again, right? You ready for your Greek lesson for the day? I remember this from a few months ago. The verb is luo. Can you say that? Luo. Very good. Oh man, that's great. Luo, that just means I release, I loose. Doesn't each one of you luo your ox or donkey to go get water on the Sabbath day? Of course we do. We have to. They've been tied up all night. They need to get water. Of course we do. Shouldn't I, on the Sabbath day then, luo this woman from what has oppressed her for 18 years? Of course you should. I mean, if we tied up our donkeys and oxen for 18 years, they'd be a lot worse off than this lady was. You loose your donkeys and your oxen. I loose people from the things that oppress them. That's what Jesus does. And if that is to be done in church on a Sunday, then by all means, I say, let's do it. That's what Jesus came to do, to set us free from the things that bind us. Wow. Wow. So Jesus says exactly what Isaiah has said, that our worship life, being in the Lord's house, among the Lord's people, in the presence of the Lord himself, is just as important, equally as important, as caring for those who are in great need. That's how the kingdom works. We come to church and we're good at doing that. That's the one side. But we cannot separate it from the other side, which is to involve ourselves in the outward work of the kingdom, to spread the message, to meet needs, to feed the hungry, to shelter the homeless. Just this week, I got a phone call from a homeless lady who was asking for an emergency shelter. Can we put her up for the night? I said, well, I don't know. I'm not sure how we do that around here just yet. She said, thank you very much. And that was it. Well, I don't know. Maybe we have a way of meeting needs like this. I need to learn, just as we need to learn. There are needs just around the corner from us that we can meet in the name of Jesus. There are lots of organizations that will meet needs. But if we do it in the name of Jesus, then we are doing something very significant. We're spreading this message one step farther. So we have a thermometer for a sound system. That's all well and good. We need a new sound system, but that's here. Maybe we should have a thermometer that measures our gauge of readiness to be involved in the world, too. If we can raise $8,500 for new sound system stuff, great, fantastic. We'll straighten up and praise the Lord. What can we do to involve ourselves in the people who are in need right here? $8,500 worth of man hours. I bet we could. Maybe we should. So that we're not forgetting that these two parts of our lives are intertwined and we can't separate them. That's a powerful message. That's a difficult message. But that's the message for this church. Now, for you as an individual, if you are seeking, if you are in distress, if you're not sure about the answers that you have in your mind to the questions that are there, you're not sure about why things happen, or if there's something oppressing you, some burden that you are carrying with you. Maybe you've carried it for 18 years. The message of Isaiah is the message of Jesus, which is this: be set free. Jesus came to set free those of us who are oppressed. So if you are searching, and if you are in pain, and if you are not sure of where tomorrow's spiritual meal will come from, be set free. That's a powerful message. That's a dangerous message. But that's how the kingdom works. The Lord is in the business of setting people free from the things that oppress them. The Lord is in the business of getting us involved in people's lives, setting them free from the things that oppress them. So this week, as you go, don't forget what happens here, and don't forget what happens there, because both are equally important, and we cannot neglect either one. What should we be called? Well, we shouldn't be called the repairer of broken walls like the Israelites were when they came home. There were broken walls and they had to repair them. We won't be called restorer of streets with dwellings, because the Israelites had streets and there were no dwellings, and so they restored them. Maybe we can be called repairer of broken homes, broken families, restorer of teenage self-worth, freer of those who are addicted to drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever. Maybe we can be called that. But the people of Israel were called that by Isaiah, not for their own glory. We can be called whatever we're called, not for our own glory, but to testify to what the Lord is doing. That's the point. To point people to the one who's really doing the restoration, to really the one who is doing the building. Knowledge is power, and with power comes responsibility. Wasn't that a great line? Spider-Man, is that what it was? Yeah. Well, here's the knowledge. Here's the power. Great responsibility. That's how the kingdom works. suppose we ought to pray. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for this day when you have called us together to remember and to celebrate the victory that your Son won over sin and death once for all. We give you thanks for this holy day, your day, the day in which you have called us to not go our own ways, not to put anything else before you, not to have idle talk, but to be focused entirely on you. We thank you for this day. And Lord, we ask that you would speak to us as we have been challenged by your word to remember this day and to remember the world around us as we leave. Give us strength to meet the needs of those that we see around us. Give us strength to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to give shelter to the homeless, and meet our own needs as we live in a sun-scorched land. Give us strength as we live in a comfortable environment, a nation that is accepting of our faith, but if it really knew what this faith was about, it would not accept it. Strengthen us to do your work. And Lord, I pray that you would release the bonds that are oppressing those even in this room. If there is one who needs to be released, to be luo'd from what the devil has around them, I pray that you would do that right now. And that you would bring freedom and wholeness to your people here at Mount Haley. We thank you for this message and we thank you for your presence with us. And we lift up all of these things to you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.